Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And there is a theory. There is a theory that's going around about Freddie and about just getting better over time and about John Dorsey. The thing that is throwing me off a little bit, and I think I have to negate this, is that before I did wonder. I was like, man, if you get to 8-8 or whatever, and it's still a disappointment. You don't really fire a guy. A general manager's not going to fire that guy. Well, John Dorsey has proven in the past with personnel moves, he's not afraid to go in a different direction. If he feels it is not to the betterment of the football team, he will go in a completely different direction. He's done that with players. And I don't think that 8-8 all of a sudden just says, all right, Freddie's fine and everything will be great. Like, there's got to be some proof over this time. And maybe without Myles Garrett, maybe there's a little bit of proof over this time. More on that coming up. But right now it's time. We go around the AFC North. All guests appearing on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, including Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Last week, they lost to Cleveland, but that wasn't the big story. All right, where does the blame lie here, Filippone?
In terms of what? A guy getting hit with his own helmet? Or what are we talking about, the loss?
Who started the fight?
I think Garrett did when he pulled Rudolph down on a lateral pass to Terrell Edmonds, or Trey Edmonds.
That gives Mason Rudolph all the right in the world to start ripping at his helmet?
No.
Okay. Make sure.
But I'm saying in a vacuum, let's say Garrett never pulls Rudolph's helmet off and clubbed him with it. What happens to Rudolph? Does he get fined or suspended for just trying to take Garrett's helmet off?
But let's say in a dirt devil that he never goes ripping at Myles Garrett's helmet. Does Myles Garrett rip his helmet off and then hit him over the head with it?
I don't know okay. I think he still rips Rudolph's helmet off. But I don't think that Rudolph's unintentional kick to the
so
groin.
Hold on.
Getting hit in the head with his own helmet.
So let's say in a Dyson that Myles Garrett were just going to get up and rip his helmet off. That's the way that would go.
So you're of the Sheldon Richardson school of thought that Rudolph deserved getting hit in the head with his own helmet.
That's not what I said.
I didn't say you just said
Let's
that.
Say in an Auric XL that I am not saying that Sheldon Richardson, what he said, was right. I'm not saying that. I'm just pointing out that the original aggressor is not necessarily Myles Garrett. Lima, you have the floor.
Filippone, do you think that the Pittsburgh Steelers have been eliminated from the playoffs with that loss to the Browns?
Can I just ask a question here first? Why were there so many vacuum cleaner references in that line?
Well, you said in a vacuum.
Oh, okay. Okay, there you go.
So let's say in a dustbuster that...
That's a good job, Ken. Do I think they're eliminated from the playoffs? No, not at all.
You still think that team, after what you saw from Mason Rudolph, get picked off that many... The Browns have not had any takeaways this year. Like, the entire year, they're towards the bottom of the NFL in takeaways, and they picked them off four times.
Hey, Lima, who won the NFC North last year?
What? That would be the Bears?
Who was their quarterback?
Mitch Trubisky.
You think Mason Rudolph's any worse than Trubisky?
Yes.
Really?
I do. I think Mason's really bad. But I did not have a positive thought about him going into that game, so you can only imagine after I saw what the Browns did to him, what the Browns couldn't do to any quarterbacks this year.
You think Mason Rudolph's any worse than, like, I don't know, Rex Grossman or Tim Tebow or some of these guys?
Yeah, but you're looking at the wild card right now. You obviously can't win the division. I mean,
Of course they can't. But I watched Peyton Manning with 9 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. I watched that carcass of a quarterback win a Super Bowl. The Steelers have a top-5 defense. Just like the Chiefs, they have a top-5 offense and a terrible defense. Those types of teams with a bad schedule can get to 9 wins.
Can I tell you what I think you're doing? I like to do this to Ken all the time. I like to play psychologist, what I think is happening here.
Okay.
I think what's happening is you are trying to intentionally set up Mike Tomlin for the fall, for the blame. Because you're saying that the expectation should still be playoffs when nobody outside of Pittsburgh thinks your team should go to the playoffs.
Well, I disagree with that, Lonnie. You don't think they have a top-5 defense?
I don't know.
They got a pretty
They look good. Baker Mayfield was able to find some holes against him. I didn't hear Minka Fitzpatrick's name the entire game.
How many points did he have without off of a non-turnover? 14?
Was that what it was? No, I mean, there were four of them.
Okay. Yeah. Two of them came off of short fields because Rudolph played like complete garbage. I'm not denying the fact that it was an ugly game, but like Sam Darnold had a couple of four interception games this year. Is he now the worst quarterback in the world, too?
He's played better. I don't know what to do with Darnold because he had those all that time off because of the mono. They have won two in a row against really bad teams. So I don't know how much credit to give them.
Almost died against the Ravens.
So who would you rather have play against the Browns next time around? Mason Rudolph or the Duck Dude?
It depends. if Rudolph plays like garbage against the worst defense in the NFL this Sunday and the Bengals beat the Steelers and they pick up their first win, I would go with Hodges because I don't want to throw Rudolph back into the fire against the Browns team and ignite that fuse and light that wick again. At that point, if Rudolph's not good enough, even without offensive weapons, to beat the Bengals, then he should be benched.
All right, Pony. We kept it cordial. I appreciate it.
The Pony Master.
Wait, hey, question. Should Browns fans be concerned at all about wearing Myles Garrett jerseys to Pittsburgh?
Yes. I think the game getting moved up to 1 o'clock was not an accident, though. I think they want a less liquored-up Heinz Field. I think that's the only reason why the NFL would take a Raiders-Chiefs game and move it to 4:25 over this game, which will have a huge magnifying glass on it. So, yes, yeah, I do think they should be concerned. But I love you guys.
All right, Pony. We thank you very much. The Pony Express, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. We didn't have to ask him about Cincinnati because there's not really much to ask about Cincinnati. We go to Baltimore where there's plenty to ask. 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore is Ken Wyman. Find him on Twitter at Ken Wyman Sport. Big win over Houston this last week. And now this week, they travel to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. And Ken, there was the jersey exchange between Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. Deshaun wrote that Lamar is the MVP. You say that there's some fans who are still skeptical. There can't be any left at this point right now, are there?
No, the only fans that can be skeptical at this point are delusional. Lamar Jackson has to be the front runner for MVP. I think he's the betting favorite in Vegas right now. I didn't expect that game to go like it did. I going into the game, I thought if it was in Houston, I would have picked the Texans to win, and the Ravens just ran them out of the building.
Ken, what was the reaction this weekend in Baltimore? I know you guys are thrilled about that win over Deshaun Watson, a blowout victory, which never seems to happen to him. What was the reaction to the Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph fiasco?
It was surprise, I think. You know, Myles Garrett hit another player in the head with a helmet, and I think that he's fortunate he hit him with the part of the helmet he did, because if he hits him with the crown of the helmet, then Mason Rudolph is down unconscious on the field for the second time this year, which would have been a really ugly situation. It just the whole thing seemed crazy because there's 8 seconds left in a game that's over. Why is this happening? Was my initial reaction.
Ken Wyman joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So where's more credit going? Is it going towards Lamar? Is it going towards John Harbaugh?
I think there's a lot of credit to go around. Lamar, this defense has played great since basically Tony Jefferson got hurt. Chuck Clark came in. Chuck Clark's playing better than Tony Jefferson. They brought two linebackers in off the street and Josh Bynes and LJ Fort. They're playing better than the guys they replaced. Michael Pierce got hurt and they brought in Pecco and Ellis and those guys played 20 snaps apiece. But the defense is actually, you guys saw when the Ravens played the Browns, that was the second game in a row the Ravens gave up 500 yards of offense. Since getting all those guys and acquiring Marcus Peters, this defense has been really good. Plus, they got Jimmy Smith back. Earl Thomas has gotten comfortable. So I think there's a lot of credit to go around. Greg Roman and Wink Martindale both doing great jobs as the coordinators for this team.
You guys have played Seattle and won. Then you took on the Patriots and won. The Texans and won. You still have the Rams and the 49ers and the Bills, looking way ahead to that Browns game in week 16. What is the thought about the Ravens? I know you can't really look past all these teams you're going up against, but the Browns are going to need that game to make the playoffs. Are you thinking that clash at that time could have monumental significance?
It could have significance. So honestly, I haven't thought about that game, and it's hard to think about the game from the Browns' perspective. But for the Ravens' perspective, they could be looking at a top seed. I don't think the Patriots are running the table, and the Ravens hold a tiebreaker over the Patriots. And after beating the Seahawks and the Patriots and the Texans, I don't think the Ravens are running the table, but I don't think there's anybody they should fear. And so from their perspective, that game's going to mean a lot for them as far as getting a first-round bye. So it's going to be an important game.
Are they talking Super Bowl in Baltimore yet, or is it way too early?
I think fans are starting to. The team obviously won't. But, yeah, I think as we sit right now, the Ravens are the best team in football. But there's a lot of football left to be played.
All right. Ken Wyman, we appreciate you. From 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Let's do it again. There he is, Mo Egger, now in Cincinnati at 15:30. Mo, there's not a ton to talk about left for your football team, but I should ask you this. Is the Burrow stuff reaching a crescendo? You guys need a new quarterback. Everybody understands that. Is that all they're talking about in Cincinnati?
Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, maybe a little bit more so after what happened in Starkville on Saturday with Tua Tagovailoa, because what you do is you have people who automatically cross him off their list. Now, I think that's maybe a little bit premature, but I get it. Number one, Joe Burrow has been phenomenal. You're going to have people who are attached to him because he's an Ohio guy. And then, you know, the other guy who was in the conversation dislocates his hip. A team needs a quarterback. This team has a lead. Now, Cincinnati teams do blow leads, but they have a lead to get the number one overall pick. Yeah, it's kind of right now Joe Burrow or bust for many Bengals fans.
Is there a little bit of a sentiment that you guys, it's very early in his career, but I got to ask it, that you guys exhale a little bit that you didn't go with Dwayne Haskins in this last draft?
Yeah, I think so. And you hate to say that because it is early in his career, but there is just a sense that the Bengals maybe dodged a bullet. And I'll be honest with you, I was one of those saying when the 11th pick came up and Dwayne Haskins is on the board, go ahead and take him. Well, you have a chance to get a prospect who might be a little bit better. Now, you've had to endure a miserable season in order to get there. But, yeah, I think that's fair. I think it would be easier to absorb if this year's number one pick or 11th overall pick was able to play. They have gotten nothing from their first-round pick because Jonah Williams got hurt during OTAs. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. You know, we'll see what happens over the course of the next 6 weeks if they do get the number one overall pick. But I think there's a lot of Bengals fans who, with the benefit of hindsight, kind of look at Dwayne Haskins and go, okay, yeah, maybe we dodge one.
Well, there is a silver lining there, Mo. I mean, because you'll have Jonah Williams back, and he still should be a good lineman for you. And then maybe you'll have Joe Burrow there, and, you know, away you go maybe in 2020.
Yeah, there's the selling point. Hey, we get two first-round picks this year. Yeah, you know, look, I think there's reason to be excited about a new quarterback. I think, you know, if the idea, though, is, well, the draft Joe Burrow, and then we wipe our hands and everything's going to be fine, you know, this team is so bereft of talent. They have so many holes, so many issues. You know, obviously Jonah Williams could probably help the offensive line next season, and they could certainly use that. But they've got to fix any number of areas, and I'm wondering how you do that when you're not active in free agency, you don't make trades, and you only have 7 picks. So we'll see how they go about accomplishing that, because I think that's a really tough ask.
Mo, one of the worst moments in recent NFL history when it came to on-the-field nonsense was a playoff game, 2016, which you remember very well, Vontaze Burfict, Adam Pac-Man Jones against the Steelers. It cost you a playoff game. Did you draw any connections whatsoever to what you saw with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph last week?
Not really, and I think a lot of people did, because they'll say, well, look, the common denominator is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, Mason Rudolph wasn't there that January night. I didn't go that far. I just kind of thought it was an isolated incident. Now, from a Bengals standpoint, I think you'll have fans who will tell you it was kind of nice to watch, you know, two hated AFC North rivals, you know, take all the slings and arrows from everybody on the outside in the aftermath. But no, I kind of viewed that incident in a vacuum. I certainly don't know that I have anything new to say about it, because I think every hot take about Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph has probably already been offered, and I'm sure you guys have been knee-deep in it. But, no, I didn't. I mean, I do think what it did is it was a reminder of that playoff game, but not because it was the Steelers, just because when we think of teams losing their cool, we think of the Bengals in that moment that obviously, you know, look, the game was hanging in the balance and it was a playoff game as opposed to the other night, which was, you know, the game was, you know, yeah, well decided.
Mo, I want to ask you, though,
game, but,
we've had so many fans say they were glad to see the Browns finally be the bullies in this series, but I caution all the Browns fans, hey, the Bengals, they tried to be the bullies and they ended up coming out on the short end of the stick. I mean, are you glad you don't have those guys around anymore, Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones, who were good players for the Bengals?
Yes. Well, first of all, Vontaze Burfict's effectiveness ended that night in Paul Brown Stadium, because the subsequent 3 years he was not very good, and Adam Jones was not worth the trouble. Yes, I'm glad that those guys, prominent players, are no longer avatars for this franchise. And you know, you go back to that night. There's a lot of reasons why the Bengals lost that game. Number one is Jeremy Hill fumbles when the Bengals had possession up a point with a couple minutes to go. If he doesn't do that, all the stuff that happened probably never goes down. But yeah, I think those guys were not worth the trouble. And look, you've seen what happened in Oakland. Adam Jones is not in the league mainly because he's old. But yeah, I think there's a lot of people who are, if you've got to be as bad as this team is, be bad with guys that you could root for. I don't think there was anybody who enjoyed rooting for Vontaze Burfict at the end. I don't think there was anybody who enjoyed rooting for Adam Jones at the end. In terms of being the bully, the Bengals never did that, but you can do that within the context of the game. And I thought for the first 59 minutes and 50 seconds, the Browns did that. I would be happy about that if I was a Browns fan. What happened there at the end, I don't think has really much to do with, you know, winning football games. But up until that point that night, yeah, they were the better team.
Mo, we thank you very much, my friend, the great Mo Egger from ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Talk about being a good soldier during Around the AFC North. And all those guests on Around the AFC North appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You satisfied with that answer? You seem pretty satisfied over there.
Yeah.
Satisfactory being the word of the operative word of the last couple of days. So, yeah, you're pretty satisfied with that one. 216-578-0092.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.